We're going to read several places. Lord allows, we're going to maybe present this a little bit different than we have in the past. We was thinking about this, and it says in 2 Thessalonians, if you'd want to turn there, in the 3rd chapter, in the 10th verse. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. We read this, we was thinking about if any would not work, neither should he eat. Now, if you turn over into Matthew, it says in the 6th chapter, right now we're experiencing in our economy, there's a lot of people that's unemployed, a lot of people that want to work, that can't, and a lot of people in positions that I'm sure that just wish that they could have a job to make the ends meet. And it says here in the 6th chapter, the 21st verse of Matthew, it says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. Therefore the light that is in thee be darkness. How great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought of your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought of raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these." We just read in 2 Thessalonians where Paul was speaking to the people there, and he said that we commanded you that if any would not work, neither should ye. And yet we find that when we read in Matthew in the 6th chapter, we're told that we are to take no thought of our life, what we shall eat, or what we shall drink, nor yet for your body, for what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than raiment in the body? Is not life more than meat in the body than raiment? And then it goes on to say, the fowls of the air, neither do they sow or reap, and the Lord, they have no ability to keep things in barns, and yet the Lord provides for them. And how do we reconcile these two verses together? For it sounds as if, there's some, when we read this in Matthew, I couldn't help but think when I was a kid, seeing people there around the railroad tracks and watching certain shows. I can remember watching Andy Griffith, and that there is some hobos down at the railroad tracks, and it seemed as if they were they had the mentality of what Jesus was talking about here, that there was they were just happy-go-lucky, that they didn't hold down no permanent job, and that they got food where they needed it. And a lot of times, I even think I've seen a program where one even made mention of that, that we need give no thought of tomorrow, what we'll eat,
or what we'll drink, that the Lord will provide it just like He did with the birds. But then we find that the Lord said through the mouth of Paul that he that not that don't work, let him not eat. And we begin to think about that and to think that there are those that are without a job in our community, those that would wish that they could have a job. And no doubt, this was a commandment that was given by Paul, and we couldn't help but think, where else do we find it in God's Word, where He would try to tell somebody that they need to work, not because, now listen to me, even though it's that Paul said that we could eat the bread of our own hand, but we need not lose sight of this simple fact that the Lord's not saying you need to work so you can provide for yourself. But what the Lord, I believe, is trying to tell each and every one of us, Trent, is this. We need to work. And I'll bless you that you might eat. Now listen, there's a blessing here that the Lord is not simply saying that everything will be all right. That I'll take care of you whether you work or whether you don't. But the Lord has given us a commandment that we need to work. And when you work, I will bless you. The Bible says that the church ain't taking a widow woman under 80 years old. Why is that? He said, for the younger woman, that she might become as a busybody, going to and fro. What's the Bible saying? That widow woman needs to work, just like the man years ago, when you had a job or not. A lot of people don't realize this. A lot of people consider themselves to be farmers, and they farm for a little piece, and then they work a job. They cut state molds. They go work over here or over there. But they work, and they work hard, and the Lord seen to it. And unfortunately, a lot of times the only work they had was with the hoe. I can remember going back with my grandfather down there not far from Miami, Virginia, over there near Norton, and he showed me the farm where he was raised, and he showed me the hill. And I have to say, I don't remember being anywhere else than right there near Norton, where we went back this dirt road and the little hills. They were just little hills, probably maybe 3 times as tall as this church, and it just looked like a big old dump truck dumped the dirt there, and they were steep. And he said, looking around where the house used to sit, there's a house there. And he began to tell me where the gate was. His father killed that man that one rainy night. And then he said, I used to be a hill. He said it was covered in corn. And I looked at it and I said, Granddaddy, what'd you do? That looks too steep to be able to plow with a horse. He said, we didn't have a horse. He said, we just dig a little hole and throw some kernels of corn in it. And why was it? Way back yonder, you didn't work, you didn't eat. And today, what do we have? We're blessed to live in a country where if you have not the money to provide for yourself, somebody will. The government will. But it does not change the commandments of God that the Lord wants every one of us to work. And sometimes we might not be able to work at this, but we better work at something. It don't take a widow woman to be a busybody. If we don't find ourselves busy in the Lord's business, we might go to and fro, and the Lord look down on us and say, look, there's one that ain't working. And the Bible says, those that don't work ought not to eat. Listen, I'm thankful that that's not the case, that it does not say. And we can read that again. It does not say those that don't work won't eat. It says here, this we command you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. But you know what? The Lord in His mercy has provided for a lot of people that's never raised their hand to any kind of work. There's some that's generation after generation, and the only thing you can say is the closest thing they ever come to work was trying to work their way out of work. But you know what? It doesn't matter what we do or what situation we find ourselves in. The Lord wants us to be busy. I'm afraid today there's way too many people with idle time on their hands. You know, I was talking to my wife about it. They've got this Facebook and Twitter and tweeting people and this and that. And listen to me. All it is to do is to take you away from work at the end of the day. If you spend hours doing basically nothing but gossiping or doing this or doing or just talking about the pretty flowers. The Lord wants you to work. Get out of the flower garden and put your hands to work. And it'll make you feel better. It will. Why? Because it's a commandment of God. I'm thankful of that. You know, I was thinking about it. I was looking in this young lady's catalog last night. I'm thinking about we already filled up the garden. And I want to tell you, I don't like gardening. I like a little bit of it. But you know what? Trying to raise enough food to feed my family is nothing but a lot of work. But as we was looking through there, I truly believe, and maybe that's why the Lord put it on our mind, that He wants every one of us to position ourselves so that we might receive the blessings of God. And you know what? When we work to provide ourselves with bread, He will bless us many times so that we might feed others. Because you know, today we live in a culture that's so far removed that most people, I mean, it's really sad. You can go into grocery stores, or not grocery stores, but hardware stores or wherever. You can look at books. I can remember as a kid when you get the seed catalogs, and over 60% of it was vegetables and different things than that. You look at them today, most of it's shrubberies and these things and that. And that goes to show you the blessings of God. But we was reading in a magazine that Monsanto, that they control 90% of the seeds in this world. One company. I couldn't believe that. And you know what? I'm sure they're talking about in volume. Because between Monsanto's Roundup Ready corn and soybean, that probably is in volume 90% of the seeds that are sold in this world. And I thought about that. We can see it coming. I don't know how long it's going to be. But it's a scary thing to think that there are so few that controls the food chain. That there are so few that are so removed that they've never even gave it any thought. They just go to the grocery store and they buy what's ever there. And we're blessed to be in an economy that I can devote my time on being a machinist. You might devote your time on hanging drywall. Or you might devote your time on raising the children. You know what? But guess what? If we get so far removed from work, and I'm not talking about gardening now, but if we get so far removed from work, we will miss out on the blessing that the Lord says that He will give us, which is to eat. You know, we live in a culture today, to be considered successful is to be one that doesn't have to work. Ain't that sad? People are measured in their success. He got to retire early. Well, what's he doing? Nothing. Oh, he goes and he golfs. Maybe he works at golfing. Or he goes and, oh, he's got him a bass boat. He's got this or he's got that. But the Lord said that it's a good thing to work. Unfortunately, if you read the first chapter of Genesis, unfortunately, there's a lot of people that think that work was a curse. But if you read it a little bit more careful, we'll find out that it's by the sweat of one's brow that one must toil. But the work in itself is not the curse. But it was the thistles and the thorns. It was the pain that women went through in giving childbirth. But we've got it all messed up to where we teach our kids, not instructing them with our words, but by our actions, that work is something to avoid. And though Darren might not be able, we had a meeting today at work. And I don't know why it was, but it was after lunch, and maybe they didn't want us sitting down figuring we'd all go to sleep. But we got a president, maybe that's a lot of our troubles. We got a president for the company. Then we got a president for a corporation. And I've been there since 94, except for 3 years of it. And I've never seen the president of the corporation. Got the meeting today. And they asked us to come in this area. And we was all standing up. And they had that caution tape. Strode up, and then they said, no, we want you to go in there. So everybody kind of shuffled in there, and we stood there, and we stood for over an hour listening to this speech. And the whole speech was that we've got to, not, and they didn't say this, but they've said it before, that we've got to work smarter, not harder. Well, that's a way of saying you've got to work harder, and you need to think about it. But you know what? They're talking about that it's not only important that we're fast, but as we have these projects, and there's project managers, and there's engineers, there's mechanical engineers, hydraulic, electrical engineers, there's building design, there's mechanical assembly, there's manufacturing, that's what I'm part of. And they said, and they showed this tape, and it was a race, and you know how when you're racing on an oval, the guy on the inside, even though he might at some point be in behind in the curb, he's actually ahead because he's on the inside. And they come around there, and he was in the lead, and it was a relay race, and they ran, and then all of a sudden, it was poor video, and you couldn't tell what happened, but they quit running. And he said, "What happened there?" And somebody said, "Well, they dropped the baton." He says, "We got to have good handoffs between departments." This is what his point was. And after the whole meeting, you know, he said, between project managers, this and that, we need to see to it. Well, you know, after the meeting, I told the fellas, I said, "Well, somebody needs to fire that project manager whose job was to get us chairs to sit down in." Because we stood there for over an hour. And I stand on my feet all the time. But just to stand in one spot for over an hour on concrete, I wish I had a seat. But you know, I think it might have been planned that way. Because nobody, I didn't see a single person nod off and fall and hit the floor. You don't do that when you're standing up. But you know what? Each and every one of us has our job. Now I'm speaking about within the realm of the spiritual world. The Lord has given each and every one of us a job. Now listen, if we carry on with the same mentality that the world has, that work is something to be avoided. That you only work if you can hold down a job that will pay you something. That's wrong. Years ago, you know, I often thought, and as a child, you perceive certain, you know, there's people today that like to garden. There was people years ago that liked to garden. But you know, there was a lot of good gardeners that were good gardeners out of necessity. It wasn't that they enjoyed going out there and planting and working 9-10 hours at a job and then going home and picking beans till at night, till it was dark. It wasn't, and though there was aspects, no doubt, of gardening, just like I've already said, that is very enjoyable. They did it out of necessity.
They did it because how can I expect anybody to work and do this that I ain't willing to do? We've lost that work ethic in our country. And I think it's going to be to our demise as a nation. But we cannot be so foolish as to think that the church is insulated from that, because we will carry that on into our spiritual life. If we have tried to avoid work, whether it's picking up rocks or we was dragging Monday, I was sharing my work Monday, and we was out, and I thought we was going to cut a lot of cedars, but I got this drip torch for setting brush piles and field fires on fire. So we tried it, and we started. We had four brush piles going at once, and once you get them burning, you want to pile them in as they burn down. You want to throw them stragglers and those long limbs, the ends of them. You want to keep on piling them up. Well, for some reason, my boys, and I don't know if it was because of the heat, but you know, it was hot. You know, a cedar fire puts off a lot of hot heat. And I don't know if it was just, they didn't want to be around that fire or whatever, but I said, come on guys, we need to keep on throwing things on the fire. And they did it for a little bit, but as far as getting to the edge of that fire and throwing that in there, they didn't seem like they were interested in doing that. Well, one thing led to another, and I said, well, we're trying to clear this rocky glade, and I don't know why. But it's work, and it's good work. And I said, there were some rocks scattered around here. I said, you need to pick them up. Well, they picked them up for a little bit, and we was piling them up around this big rock that you couldn't haul off. I might be able to get it with a tractor. So we thought we'd pile all these rocks around this big rock. And they were doing it half-heartedly, and I don't know which one started it. I don't know if they were pretending they was throwing hand grenades or they was just wanting to see who could throw the rock and hit the pile of rocks. Before it was over with, they made a game out of it. And they worked harder at throwing them rocks at that rock pile, or just as hard, as they did dragging that brush. And I thought, you know, so much of our life, if we would look at it, is as not work that is to be avoided, but as something that pleases God. Something that would, I mean, he's placed it there. And he said that if you would not work, neither should you eat. If you're his child, the Bible says, I was once young and now I'm old and I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor their seed begging bread. Now, I truly believe in that particular instance that the Bible is speaking more in the spiritual than it is the physical, because I know that there's been Christians that love the Lord and that have went home and have experienced physical hunger. But I truly believe that if we devote ourselves to the Lord, that the Lord will see to it that our children will have the gospel preached to them. Now, it'll be their decision whether they want to cleave to the God of their fathers, and then their decision will affect that next generation. And I truly believe that's what that scripture is talking about. But with that being said, one cannot say that the Lord does not provide for us in the physical as well. And because of that, I think that the Lord will bless us. But when he looks down and he provides for us, do we want a God that is thinking, if only he would work? If only he would be able to experience what it is to eat your own bread. And I'm not talking about, once again, physical bread, but I'm talking about benefiting from your own labor. I'm not. And if you're thinking, I'm talking about, that what I'm trying to say here is you need to get, you know, that this message, whether that's going on the internet or whatever, you need to get a job. That's, you're missing my point. My point is a mindset of work. A mindset that when you don't have a job, you're still working. A mindset of not, you know, I there's some guys at work. There's several guys that are close to retirement. And it's amazing. One guy, his whole mindset is when I... when I retire, I'm gonna finally be able to work at what I enjoy. And there's this one fellow that works right close to me, and he's 63. And you know what he said he's gonna do when he retires? Absolutely nothing. That's what he said. I talked about hauling off cattle, and he said, on one of my share your work days, and he said, well, I told him that I was down at Springfield, and it was 7:30. He said, what time did you get up on your day off? I said, I think it was 5:30. That's what he did. But you know what? You can live your life like that, but you're going to miss out on a lot of sunrises. You can live your life like that, and you're going to miss out on being able to go home or be home and walk out of the garden or whatever, and not, and when you lay down, in, well, before you even get to the bed, just that feeling of your clothes being stiff from sweating, and to know that though I might not have got paid today, I earned my keep. That when the Lord seen me sitting down at the table, He said, this is why you should eat. That matters. It should matter to everybody. Even though the Lord feeds the lazy as well as the worker. Even though the Lord provides for the Christian that is obedient as well as the one that is in disobedience. It is an honor and a blessing to be able to sit down at a table that the Lord has provided. And He said, here's one that's worked. What are these better women that are over 60 years old? You know, I find that interesting. Of all the reasons that Paul, why 80 years? You know, I just find that. Why? You know, well, the Bible tells us why, if they're younger, what might take place. But you know, I think he's pointing out, you know, that as women as well as men get older, they can't do as much. But you know what? If you search it out in Scripture, some of the most instrumental people in the Bible was the elderly that did what? They worked whatever the Lord gave them to do. And I look at my mother and I realize that she can't do the things that she once did. But you know what? What's wonderful about the elderly is that they make wonderful foremen. They make, I mean, my mother, I just remember growing up and that, well, you need to do this, you need to do that. And I just love the opportunities that my children can be with my mother, because she's going to instruct them on the important things in life. And I try to teach my children the same thing. But you know what? If what I say is different from what I do, well then, what are they going to learn? They're going to learn from my actions. If I tell my children that I love deer meat, and yet every time we have deer meat, they never see me eat any of it, but yet I insist that it's good for them and that you should eat it, you know, they're going to either think one of two things. They're either going to think that my dad loves me so much that he don't want to eat none of that deer meat so he can leave it to all of us kids. But most likely they're going to question, does he really like it? Or is it even, or maybe he likes it, but it's not good for him. And I've never told my children that I really like deer meat. Matter of fact, to eat it, I got to work at it. But I've never told my children with an empty plate that, boy, we had pork steak tonight. I never told them that that's something you need to eat. I've never told them that you need to eat this fried ham. I may not take a piece of it. A lot of times I might tell them that, with a mouthful. Why? Because it's something that's good. And I hope that each and every one of us, not you as a parent, not you as a sibling, but us as a church, that the children of this church can look in my life and can look in your life and see the value of Word. And you know, I grew up with a grandfather that was my earliest memories of. He was old enough to work, but he was disabled. But you know what? He still worked at something. My dad has a drill press, and that was my grandfather's. And it's, we've got benches. Well, I've talked to my dad about that. We need to use some of our benches. But anyhow, he's got this drill press, and it's sitting in the floor. And when I go in there, and sometimes when I see it, I remember exactly where it sat on my grandfather's workbench, and that to him, that working was a value. And that when they talked about it, that it was not something that was to be avoided. But they talked about all that they could do now. And oh, but you should have seen what I used to be able to do. And we're losing that in our country. You know, work's, it's really been frustrating at work. You know, we've seen a layoff. And they laid off 20% of what's called direct, which is people that are directly earning an income. The rumors was is that they was really going to hit indirect hard, which is overhead. Indirect is overhead. People that help the company but actually are not making a product that is being sold and generating an income to pay people's wages. These are people that are making wages on other people's work. Well, we've seen a 20% reduction in our workforce after already seeing a 10% just here in the last, in the last 8 months. Well, that happened, boom, that happened on Monday. Well, indirect or salary people, their wages end. Their pay period is on Wednesday instead of on Monday through Friday. And that's when they usually get it. And we all waited. We've got so small that we've got bosses that are no longer over people. They're making the same wage. Some of them even have the same title or have some kind of neo title of some sort. And nothing. And you'd like to think you work for a company that is trying to survive. They're trying to, that this company's trying to survive. Not us as individuals, but this company has to try to survive. But when you see that over and over again, you realize it's not about a survival of a company. It's not about looking out in the future. We had this big meeting today. And they was more or less saying that we need to get more efficient. We lost 20% of our workforce. And we need to get more efficient. And we have the same overhead. And in that last layoff, that our internal cost just went higher. That instead of, you know, having whatever it takes, say for instance, $40 an hour, internal cost, when you lay off the working man, that now equates to maybe 45 or, you know, a larger percentage. Why? Because you have to cover that overhead. And why is that? Because we live in a culture today that to be considered successful is to have a job where you don't have to work. As Christians, we should be different. As children of God, we not only should be raising our children different, but we ought to be different. And you know, there's people in this church that are young now that have opportunities now that they'll never have the rest of their life. You know, I thought about that when me and Michelle got married. You know, I never gave it any thought. All I was thinking about is, boy, it'd be wonderful to have children. And I spent a lot of my time thinking about all that I was going to do when I had children, instead of seizing that opportunity of that these are years, preparatory years, that I need to be spending with the Lord, because there's coming a day when I'll not have that same opportunity. And each and every one of us, I think that would do us well to look around and say, Lord, what work do you want me to do? I know it's necessary that we get another song. It blessed my heart to think that I knew the Lord was going to provide for us, whether we experience a layoff or what. But if you search out those two passages of scriptures as well as what the Lord says about widows, I think it is His desire. It's not the simple fact, don't worry, Daryl, God's going to feed you, but don't worry, Daryl, you'll be able to work, and I'll bless you with food to eat. I don't know what that work's going to entail and whether I'll even get paid for that work. But I think that it is in the working that we experience the blessings of God and provide them for us. It's not to be as that hobo on the railroad track and say, let's not worry about tomorrow. Somebody will come along and provide for us. That's not how God works. He wants us to be that Ruth in the field, gleaning after those that are working for the Master. Is there any word on anyone's heart before we close?